Amen. Thank you, Stephen. Great song. Let's take the Word of God tonight. We'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this evening. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness tonight. And I think it is fitting that every few years that I like to take and talk about the Lord's table. It's been many years. In fact, back in 2013, I preached on the Lord's table and the significance of what we do with this ordinance that God has given to us. And tonight I want to speak to you on this subject, our time at the Lord's table. This is a special time. It's not just something we do out of tradition or something that we do just because we think it's a good idea to do it. We do this evening because we do it in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Lord has instituted the Lord's table. Let me say this to you. The Lord's table is a time when we are to assemble together in one mind, in love for the Lord Jesus, and remember His death till He come. It's a special time. It's a sacred time that we have. This morning I talked about the sanctity of life, and we talked about God's view of abortion. And tonight we come to the Lord's table. You know something? Jesus died so that no one would have to die without Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to pay our sin debt. And tonight, we need to understand that we know from God's Word that God has left the church with two specific things. When Jesus Christ left, and by the way, I believe personally that when Christ walked upon the face of the earth, that He established the local church, Him and His disciples, and that it was empowered on the day of Pentecost. I know many people have different ideals of when the church was established, but that's when I believe the church was established. It was established with Christ. He said, upon this rock, Jesus is the rock, I will build my church. And I believe that it was established with Christ and His disciples. And so therefore, when Jesus left, bled and died upon the cross, and He went to heaven, He left the church with two things, all right? First, He left us with doctrine. This is what we believe and teach. Our doctrine is so important. By the way, doctrine is not something boring. Our doctrine is the foundation. And by the way, our doctrine comes from the Word of God. The sole authority of our faith and practice is the precious Word of God. So He left us with doctrine, and that is what I am to do as a pastor. I'm to preach the truth, but I'm to teach the Word of God, doctrine. But He left us with ordinances. There are two local church ordinances. One is baptism. All right? Now, baptism is only for a believer. We call it believer's baptism. An unsaved person cannot be baptized biblically because it is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, Christ gave us the ordinance of baptism, but the second ordinance is the ordinance of the Lord's table. Some people might call it the Lord's Supper. Both of these ordinances speak of the Lord's death. And we are to remember His death. So tonight, as we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. The Bible says, "For I have received of the Lord Jesus," or of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, "Take, eat. This is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me." After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Whosoever therefore shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, and we should not be condemned with the world. Now this text is most of the time what I read when we do the Lord's table. I go through these things and we talk about them together. But folks, I want you to understand that this night, this time of the Lord's Supper is very, very special. Let us not lose the significance of it. Now, by the way, the Bible says, for as oft as you take it. You know that the Bible does not give us a stated amount of time that we are to practice or to observe the Lord's table. I know of churches that do it every month. I have no problem with that. Some churches maybe do it every other week. I have no problem with that. But I do believe that if we do it too often, it can lose the significance and the importance of that special time. So by God's help, I have tried to look at our calendar and I set aside times that I believe for our church to come together for the Lord's table. We are remembering His death. And in that, we observe two specific things. Tonight, as we take the Lord's table, we think of His humiliation. By the way, when you hold the unleavened bread in your hand, you think of that body that was humiliated for you and me. Jesus Christ hung on a cross as a common thief. He hung there in shame, unclothed. Think of it, Jesus there on the cross. It was not a beautiful picture of Christ dying in His humiliation, but He humbled Himself for you and me. And folks, He suffered, He bled, and He died, and His body was broken. So we think of His humiliation, but secondly, we think of His glorious victory over death, hell, and the grave. Folks, tonight, our time at the Lord's table is a special time. Now, by the way, when we come to the Lord's table, we must come. There needs to be the proper person to come. Now, this means this. Now, I know churches. I don't have a problem with this because every church is a local assembly. That's why we're independent, all right? We're self-governing. But I know of churches where they practice what we would call closed communion. And the idea with that is you have to be a member of that church, saved and baptized, to partake of the Lord's table. Now, that's up to that church. I personally do not believe that the Bible teaches that certain type of doctrine. You can imagine if you were visiting a church and you're a believer, you've been saved and baptized by immersion, you're seeking to walk with the Lord and you are there to worship, and yet you're asked to leave the service at the end because you're not allowed to partake. I just don't believe that that is exactly as Christ would have us to have it. Now, if a church practices that, that is up to them. That is between them and their local assembly there and between them and God. But as we come to the Lord's table, there are three things that we must have in place. Number one, the person has to be redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The person that can take of the Lord's table has to be a child of God. They have to be a Christian. That's the first qualification. The second one is they must be baptized by immersion. The Bible teaches that. Why don't we sprinkle? Why don't we pour? Because God's Word does not teach that. When we think of the Lord Jesus, when He was baptized, He went down into the water. In fact, the word baptizo means to immerse in water. In fact, the analogy of baptizo, which is baptism, is the analogy of a blacksmith. And he's got the hot lead. Does he sprinkle it with water? No. He submerses it in water. That's the word analogy that is given to us there in the Greek. So they must be saved. They must be baptized. But thirdly, they must be living a sincere Christian life. Now, I did not say a perfect Christian life because none of us would qualify. But a person that is seeking to honor Christ with their life. When I was an assistant pastor, I helped with the Lord's table. And I remember helping my pastor with that. And I remember looking, and not looking to observe different people, But I would notice people in our church that would not partake of the Lord's table. I knew they were saved. I knew they were baptized. But I also knew that they were not living a life that was honoring to Christ. They were living in known sin. You know something? I respect them for not partaking of the Lord's table, because the Bible says that we are not to come to the Lord's table unworthily. Now, brethren, we're all unworthy outside of Jesus Christ. But God makes us worthy. But the word unworthily there is talking about the way we approach the Lord's table. Do we come to it just thinking this is no big deal? Do we come to it with unconfessed sin in our life, something that we know that we are living in sin and disobedience to God? Then Christ says, do not come unworthily. So tonight, as we think about this time for the Lord's table, number one, I want you to notice it is a time for delivering the truth. Now let's go back to verse number 23, and I pray that God would help us tonight. I want to be very simple and very concise, but I want to remind us of our time at the Lord's table. Look at verse number 23. It says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Here, Paul is delivering the truth that he received from the Lord. So when we come to the Lord's table, it's a time for us to deliver the truth. You say, well, what does that mean, Pastor? You see, as we observe the Lord's table, we are delivering the truth. What truth is that? The truth is that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. That's the truth tonight. We are saying tonight as we take the Lord's table that without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, without him going to the cross and bleeding and dying for the sins of all mankind, no one could be saved. That's the truth that we deliver. And by the way, in fact, we are presenting the truth of God. In fact, that Jesus is the only way of salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You know something? Each generation must hear the word of God, and we, as adults, we must pass on this. Look, I'm thankful the children are in here tonight, and the teenagers, because they need to know that this time of the Lord's table is a time that we're delivering the truth. We are saying tonight, we are reminding everyone, Jesus Christ had to go to the cross to purchase our salvation. You see, by the way, the Lord's table is one of the ways that God has designed for us to protect sound doctrine. Look here. Doctrine is so important. Doctrine is our foundation, and doctrine is what we believe and teach. And when we practice the Lord's table, as Christ has commissioned the local church, we are protecting sound doctrine. We are saying that it's not through the waters of baptism, it's not through our good deeds, it is because of Jesus' death and his shed blood on the cross to purchase our only way to heaven. So it is a time to deliver the truth. Secondly, our time at the Lord's table is a time for giving of thanks. Can I encourage you tonight as you sit there and we pray? And I want to encourage you. You know, we have a time when they are passing out the unleavened bread. And that's a time once you receive the unleavened bread, I would encourage you to bow your head and to pray silently to the Lord. But when we pray, we should thank him. When we hold that unleavened bread in our hand, we should thank him for his body. I'm going to tell you something. When I think of the body of the Lord Jesus, first, it was a sinless body. I want you to know that. But that body was marred and scarred for you and me. In fact, you know there's a day that when you and I see Jesus, we will see the nail prints in his hands. We'll see the nail prints in his feet. The Bible says that as you have seen him, that he will return one day. And folks, we think of the body of Jesus that was marred and that body that was broken for you and me. So it is a time for giving of thanks. By the way, the Lord's table is a time to praise him. It is a time to lift up his precious name. It is a time to say, Jesus, thank you for going to the cross. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight. When I think of Jesus going to the cross for me, I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. You and I are not worthy of him going to the cross for us. But his love for us, it's a time to give thanks. By the way, Hebrews 12:2 says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. You know something? Jesus went to the cross out of joy of obeying His Heavenly Father. Listen, the cross meant separation from God. The cross meant bearing the sin debt of the world. But Jesus did it out of joy. Why? The joy of purchasing salvation for you and me. So when we come to the Lord's table, it's a time for giving of thanks. So by the way, I want to say this to you. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 30, the Bible says that when they left... Now you have to understand something. The Lord's table, the very first one, was with Jesus and His disciples. And when they left there, do you know where they're heading? Jesus is heading to the cross. Soon He's going to bleed and die. And He had the Last Supper, the Lord's table there. But when they left that upper room, the Bible says that they sung a hymn. We always leave the service, and we'll do it tonight, singing a hymn. Because that's what Jesus did with the disciples. You know what hymn they sung? It was Psalm chapter 118. Can we go there real fast tonight? We won't read the whole thing. But let's look at it. Because this is the psalm that Jesus and His disciples were singing that night. I love it. It's a time of giving of thanks. It's a time of delivering the truth. We're protecting the truth that Jesus is the only way. But look in Psalm chapter 118. The Bible says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them." I want you to read on here. Notice what it says in verse number 16. "The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord." We could read on. Verse 23 says, "This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Folks, they sung that hymn, whole Psalm 118. And as they sang that hymn, it was a time of giving of thanks. Number three, it is a time for remembering His perfect sacrifice. Would you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please? And I want you to look in verse number 24. What is the meaning of the Lord's table? It means the perfect sacrifice has been made to satisfy the just demands of a holy God. Look here. I want you to know something tonight, that when you and I go through the door of death and arrive at heaven's glory, the only way we get into heaven is by perfection. You say, "Well, wait a minute, Pastor. I'm in trouble. I'm not perfect." But it's not your perfection. It is Jesus' perfection. You see, tonight, nothing wrong, nothing sinful, nothing blemished can enter into heaven. And the very day that I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as a 17-year-old teenager, God applied the righteous record of Christ's life to my life. Brother, what a great truth this is. We should praise Him tonight. Listen, if the Bible says that all my righteousness, the best that I can do, is nothing but filthy rags before the Lord. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, "For He hath made Him," that's Jesus, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the," what? "Righteousness of God in Him." Isn't that great? Think of it. Jesus went to the cross and He bled and died for you and me to make us righteous in Christ. Listen, without that righteousness, we could not enter into heaven. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, it says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Folks, this is why it is such a wonderful thing that the righteousness of Christ has been imputed to our account. Christ's record has been put on my record, and I stand in his perfect record because of his body. Jesus never sinned. The Bible says that, yes, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Listen, only a perfect sacrifice could pay for the sins of all of mankind. And when Jesus said, "This is my body," he was referring to his righteous body. It was a perfect sacrifice. Tonight, when you hold that unleavened bread, and by the way, why does it have to be unleavened? Well, the Bible says it must be unleavened because leaven is yeast, and leaven is a reference to sin and corruption. And tonight, as we hold the unleavened bread, it is without corruption. It is his body. Number four, it is a time for proclaiming the gospel. Verse 26, look at this. Look what the Bible says. I love this. He said, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes." You know something? We should know why we partake of the Lord's table. What if someone asks you at work? What if someone asks you at school, young people? Why do you do the Lord's table? Now, different religions believe different things. For instance, the Catholics believe that as we take the unleavened bread, that it actually becomes, they call it something called transubstantiation. It's a false doctrine, but that it actually becomes the very body of Jesus Christ. That's not what the Word of God teaches. And as we drink, and they use wine, fermented wine, which is a terrible symbol of the blood of Jesus Christ because there was no corruption in his blood. And as we take the grape juice in our hand, they believe that as we take it, it literally becomes the very blood of Jesus Christ. Folks, may I say something to you? That is man's ideal of God's precious doctrine that we hold here tonight. That body is sinless, without corruption. And tonight, it is a time to proclaim the gospel. Listen, when you tell your coworkers about the Lord's table, let me encourage you. Tomorrow would be a great opportunity to say to a coworker, "You know, last night at our church, we had the Lord's Supper. We had the Lord's table." They might ask you, "Well, what's that all about?" What a great opportunity to give the gospel, to say, "You know something? We do it in symbol. It's a symbol. It is a picture tonight of the Lord's His death for you and me, his shed blood for you and me." It's a time to proclaim the gospel. And then the last thing tonight, number five, it's a time for self-examination and purity of life. Look back in verse number 27. It says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself." Now, this word unworthily has to do with the manner in which the Lord's table is taken. We are to be serious-hearted. We are to be sober-minded. We are to be sincere about this tonight. You know, when we come to this night, I don't really like to tell jokes. I want it to be very serious because think of Jesus and his disciples. Think of that. Think of them meeting together and them breaking bread together. They left there with joy in their heart, but there was no lack of seriousness about it. It was something serious. And you know something, folks, tonight, it is a time that we come to examine ourselves. By the way, the Lord's table is a time for you and me to say, "Lord, help me to be right with you as humanly possible. Lord, help my heart to be right with you. And Lord, I come and I don't want there to be any unconfessed sin in my life." Tonight, as we have time in prayer before we partake, you ought to ask God, the Holy Spirit, to speak to you and to reveal things. Maybe there's unconfessed sin there. Maybe there's Maybe there's hurt. Maybe there's, I don't know, bitterness. Maybe there's unforgiveness. Maybe there is a wrong spirit, a wrong attitude to another brother or sister in Christ. It is then that we are to make things right with God. By the way, do you know that the Lord's table is a very purifying thing? It purifies. By the way, why do you think that's one of the reasons why Christ gave it to the local church? It purifies. It cleanses. Look here. Have you ever found that things have to be cleansed often? I mean, let's be honest with it, you know? We have to clean things in the building all the time, and you have to clean your clothes, and we have to cleanse our bodies. We have to do that. Why? We get dirty. Well, folks, the Lord's table is a time for us to come to the mirror of God's Word and say, God, show me my sin. I want to be right before you. Brethren, tonight, it is a special time for a church, and it is a time for us to come together in one accord with praise to our God and thanksgiving for His body and His blood that was broken and shed for you and me. Now, let's close in a word of prayer tonight. And I would like to do this if the pianist would come. I'm not going to ask you to come forward this evening. But I'm going to ask you to take a few moments, if you would please. And let's spend that time in self-examination. You and I know what it is to have unconfessed sin in our life. I know, you know. And tonight, can we spend some time alone with the Lord that we might examine our hearts and confess our sin before God, that we might come to this special time right before the Lord?